Little did I think after Friday night that I would be searching for information on Danny Vandenboom. His father was an All-American defensive back at Wisconsin in the early 80s. And now might be in line to start for Wisconsin on Saturday in Lincoln. We welcome in Andy Candy, who may remember Matt Vandenboom. Do you?
I do.
He was an All-American.
They produced some decent quarterbacks back in the day, sure. You bet. Yeah, but don't rule out Garrett Groshek playing some QB either.
Yeah, I saw he was the high school quarterback of the year in Wisconsin.
Yep.
And he played a little bit. We saw him a lot more in the Wildcat last year, I recall, and they were successful with him there. He appears to be a great athlete.
Yeah, Groshek is a little scrappy Wisconsin kid who could run that offense and put Wisconsin in position. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, before last Friday, you know, it's a plug-and-play position with Wisconsin, you know? You need a game manager, guy to turn around, hand the ball off to your running backs and let those big guys up front open holes. So, you know, as big of a deal is it to get down to your fourth stringer, you know, this is one of those deals where, you know, Nebraska is preparing for the system, not necessarily a person once you get past Graham Mertz. But Danny Vandenboom, if he does play, the pride of Kimberly High School. They are the paper makers. One of the great nicknames. The paper makers up there near, it's relatively near Green Bay.
I will guarantee that you are probably the only person that will drop the nickname of his high school if by chance he shows up in the highlights, which is fantastic.
I just hope some kid from Monroe shows up in the highlights. They are the Cheesemakers. If that's not a perfect nickname for a Wisconsin high school, the Cheesemakers.
Do they have a mascot? What's the logo?
It was just like the Block M, like Michigan, with Monroe across the... at least that was back in my day. Pat Martin, a longtime head coach there.
Okay, now I've looked at... I'm looking at the mascot. Okay, that's a good-looking mascot. Does have the cheese head. Okay.
Sure.
All right. How do you think this is going over in Madison? They had... I mean, the fact that this got out, how do you think it's going over?
The fact that it got out, I don't know if there's... I think in this day and age, it's tough to keep something like this under wraps, you know? I'm hearing more from, not necessarily media colleagues, because they have their hands full, but more friends and what have you, asking me the potential of postponing the game. And my reply is, guys, this is what the Big Ten... This is the Big Ten's deal, right? They said 8 games in 8 weeks. There's no postponement. It is what it is. This is where the shuffling of the feet before they could get all their ducks in a row really hurts them, because there's no wiggle room in this schedule. So I think that, you know, the Wisconsin angle of all this, they are concerned. But they also say, man, if Nebraska can't take care of Wisconsin at this point, you know that's coming, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that is one of those more intriguing side storylines in this whole deal, because while the quarterback is very important, the quarterback does not play defense and does not play special teams. So it is one component of a team sport that Nebraska's still going to have to bring it to win it.
Do you think that'll change? I mean, he looked pretty good on Friday night. And you know, Nebraska's going to go a year without seeing him play. And, you know, Jack Cohen was serviceable. But we know, but between Russell Wilson and Friday night, what the kind of quarterback has been at Wisconsin. Do you think under Paul Chryst they'll ever get to the point where the quarterback is a main part of that offense?
There might be. I mean, shoot, Friday night, Graham Mertz looked like the Heisman hopeful. You know, he was terrific. Now, granted, his receivers helped him out, and Jake Ferguson is a special talent. But no, I do think that there is room for a quarterback in that offense to excel and to build around. You know, the key there is making just doing your job and making the passes and being accurate. And Graham Mertz did just that. I was really impressed with him. To being on that stage, the first game in the Big Ten, and for him to come out, and granted, I know he's he's played under some bright lights before, but that was pretty impressive the way he played there. And it's a shame now because he's going to miss, you know, from the Wisconsin standpoint, they're going to miss games at Nebraska, at home against Purdue, and at Michigan. That's a pretty good chunk of the schedule for testing positive for COVID. And to that point, Casey Rogers was asked during the news conference just wrapped up for Nebraska, like, this is an eye opener and a wake up call for guys around the league that this can happen, and not to let your guard down on all your protocols and mask wearing and what have you, because if you get a positive test, you are gone for 21 days, period. And I thought that was an interesting point that was brought up during today's media session.
And especially a guy that is the offensive player of the week, and now he's going to be out for 3 weeks.
How does Justin Fields not get a little slice of that pie?
I'm with you. You go 20 of 21. You should at least get something.
But sure.
I think Justin Fields is going to get plenty of honors. I don't think he's upset.
I'm not worried about him.
So we know what Wisconsin likes to do. The last couple of years, they've run the ball. I mean, not just the last couple of years. When they've had success against Nebraska, they put up big chunk plays and big crooked numbers in terms of rushing yardage. What did you think on Friday night of their rushing attack? I wasn't, for the first game out of the box against an Illinois defense that had lost some key players from last year, I wasn't enamored that, oh boy, Wisconsin's run-heavy attack is back.
Yeah, I wasn't as overwhelmed either. If you take a look at their line, too, I was a little taken back at the they're not as imposing numerically across the front five, if you take a look. They're 6'4", 6'5", you know, 330 or 320 or whatever. But you don't have the 6'6", 6'7", 6'8", guys that we've seen in years past. On the defensive line, they have a few. But on the offensive line, it isn't as imposing as in years past. I wasn't enamored with their run game. It was decent, but I think the way that Nebraska played and came out and limited Ohio State's running attack, if nothing else, that game should give the defensive line and the front seven some confidence that they can play. If you can do that to Ohio State, you're going to be okay this season. And I would think that the defensive line for Nebraska will take this as the game within the game. Everybody wants to put that Wisconsin offensive line up on a pedestal, and to a point they deserve it. I mean, they send guys to the NFL every year and so on and so forth, but if this is your ultimate test to compete not only a week after Ohio State, but to compete against the Wisconsin offensive line, if you can shut down Wisconsin's running game, that's going to be the key to the game. Eric Shenander said as much. He said it doesn't matter who plays quarterback. You can't stop the run. You don't need to pass. So they're just going to keep throwing it or keep running it. They don't need to throw it. So I would think that that is priority number one, no matter who winds up behind center.
How long do you think Nebraska will embrace the two quarterback system?
That's a great question. They were able to keep it fresh and manageable, and you know, the whole thing is that the unique thing that I'm sure will come out after today, because Luke McCaffrey just spoke, is the relationship between Luke and Adrian, and it's unique as such, where you don't have that everywhere, where two guys are competing for a job, and if one guy gets it, the other guy's totally in his corner, and vice versa, and there's a genuine friendship between Adrian and Luke, and they're pulling for each other, and Luke talked as much, and he said that he's really appreciative of Adrian willingness to take him in and under his wing when he first arrived, and he said he'll never forget that. And I think it can work for a time being. I don't know if you can go the whole season with it, but it worked a time Saturday. You know, it doesn't matter who the quarterback is, though. If you turn the ball over, it's not working. You know what I mean? That's the stuff. If you turn the ball over, if you make dumb penalties, unforced errors, as I like to call them, that delay of game is penalty was inexcusable. False starts, those type of things. I would like them see them use this two quarterback system and win a game, and then I think I'd be better I could give you a better answer after that.
Who do you think enjoys the two quarterback system more, Luke or Adrian?
Well, I think Luke appreciated being on the field, whether that be a quarterback or running back or whatever. I mean, the kid is a gamer. And that was a thing that the coaches had mentioned. Even Matt Luvick said today, he says, Adrian and Luke are two of our best 11 offensive players. We got to get them both on the field somehow, some way. But one of the things he did drop today, he's like, you know, Adrian can play wide receiver. Adrian can play running back. And usually we just focus on that sentence describing Luke. But I thought it was interesting that Matt volunteered that today. And maybe we see that somewhat down the road. But, you know, Martinez played a solid game on Saturday. The fumble obviously cost everyone. But, you know, aside from that one huge mistake, I thought he played a decent game.
You know what? There were, I think it was a controlled kind of safe passing game. The him running the ball, there was a quarterback dart where he looked like the Adrian of old, where he's a little bit quicker as a freshman, where he made a great cut and then bounced to the outside. You know, on the fumble, I think he misjudged where he wanted to go. Things were going a little bit too fast. But he's always, you know, you're in that position, you get scrutinized. You know, you're sharing the field with the guy that's your backup, and then a guy that left the program because he couldn't beat you out, has a successful day at Rutgers. Now that you've seen one game, and I think Adrian is only as good as the wide receivers around him.
Absolutely.
I don't think he's at the level, AK, where he can succeed without good running back play, good wide receivers, all of that stuff coming together. He is what he is. But don't you think that his whole season is going to be the way he plays will be dictated on the development of the wide receivers? Because you looked on the field, there were not a lot of options for him to get rid of the football to people, whether it was he's not finding them or they're not getting open. It just, there wasn't moments for Nebraska to have big chunk plays that were not schemed up.
Correct. And I think some of it is the guy, I think a lot of it is wide receivers have to step up collectively. You know, Omar Manning was again a focal point of this morning's media session, you know, and everybody's chomping at the bit, but you know, Matt Luvick says that he was a little banged up and that they're still coming along. We've heard this before, but he'll hit the field when he's ready. But he did make mention that Alante Brown, Marcus Fleming played in the second half, and Xavier Betts is making progress. But until Nebraska desperately needs those guys to take a step forward, because there's just, you need options. And as nice of a player as Cade Warner is, you need more guys that can stretch the field. And, you know, one of the questions was asked to Matt Luvick about Wandale Robinson. You know, he only touched the ball six times. And Matt Luvick said, obviously, that is not acceptable. We need to give him the ball more. But that's part of Ohio State's scheme played into that. But there's no question that Nebraska needs their wide receivers to step up. And it's a shame that they lost Jack Stoll. Still no long-term update on him, but to work in some of those tight ends as well, because you're going to have to, because when you take shots downfield, Matt Luvick said they had about 7 to 10 plays to take shots downfield. They only, you know, tried one or two or whatever that really worked. But by just doing that, that loosens up everything and it opens your run game and makes everything kind of work a little more smoothly. But he said that they're going to continue to work to try to push the ball downfield, but man, it did seem like they were limited, didn't it? That was my one beef with the offense, is that they just didn't take shots.
Well, and this is kind of going on a year and then a one-game development, where I think last year I went back and charted, I think it was like at 4.5, a little bit above 4.5 passes of 20 yards or more downfield on average in a game. And that had a little bit to do with the personnel. But we know the year before in 2018, when Adrian was able to show off his arm, whether he was accurate or not, you know, Nebraska was able to make some plays deep. I think if they can do that, it would help them going forward, and I think it would help Adrian as well. Who was the biggest surprise to you in that game on Saturday, or a couple of guys where either you didn't know much about them or you kind of had already thought about this guy is, you know, this kind of a player, that they completely changed the narrative for you?
Well, first of all, to close up your thought on the wide receivers and throwing deep downfield, it does make a difference to have Stanley Morgan Jr. on your team, right? I mean, that is
Touché,
a guy
yes,
so severely missed. A weapon like Stanley, he was so good and maybe a little underappreciated when he was here. But to your question, your point about who was maybe stepped up to me personally, I thought that the combination of Casey Rogers and Ty Robinson, I was very impressed with the ability that they were able to kind of hold the point of the attack. I was impressed with their physicality. And, you know, maybe I was expecting them to get pushed around a little bit more than they did, but I thought Nebraska held up front, both sides of the ball, pretty well against, you know, what is arguably one of the best, you know, teams in America. And Casey Rogers and Ty Robinson, if those guys can play multiple positions, as Tony Tutioli said today, it's just going to help Nebraska as a whole because you never know where they're going to be coming from. And I thought they really stepped up in my head. And I thought Colin Miller played a pretty aggressive game, and Will Holness as well. And maybe the reason I'm saying this is because those positions were one of my big couple of the big question marks on this team as a whole, and I was pleasantly surprised with both of those position groups on Saturday.
And it may be we had such high expectations for the offense, and we still do, that we were underwhelmed by their production. Lots of yards, but, you know, it's all about points, ma'am. Where our bar is so low for this defense, and especially in COVID 2020 around college football and the NFL, where offenses are having field days, it looks like arena football. That when the defense plays, and it's weird to say this, and I said this yesterday, AK, in a game in which one team scored 52, you go, man, the defense gave you some promise. There's at least something to work with there. I think the defensive line, physically, when they get off the bus, they look more like a Big Ten defensive line. Mm-hmm. I thought there was enough there on Saturday that, man, Tony Tuioti may be a year ahead, because I was thinking next year is the year that this defensive line really breaks out and becomes a strength of this team. Maybe they're a year early because of the depth and the size and the development of two of the guys that you mentioned, Rogers and Robinson, and then throw in Ben Stille, the old man, that they might be able to hold their own in this conference.
Yeah, and we didn't even talk about Keem Green, who played well in spurts, and Jordan Riley, who was kind of the talk going into camp, and Coach Tuioti said that, you know, Jordan Riley is making progress. They're going to play him when he's ready. That's the big line on the coaching staff, yeah. But he's just not there yet. But just think about that when he steps in. Another big body, that's what I think Nebraska has lacked in recent years is size. When you go down, we're not going to be able to do this year, obviously, but when you would go down pregame and watch these guys warm up, I was always stunned at just how big the other team looked compared to Nebraska. Mm-hmm. Especially with the big boys up front, when you looked at Wisconsin and Ohio State and you compare their lines to Nebraska line. I don't think you can say that anymore. I think the gap has been closed, and that's a testament to the guys working hard in the weight room. And that's starting to pay off. I cannot wait until Saturday to see what kind of performance Nebraska is going to have against a Wisconsin team that is going to be pretty adamant about running the football given their situation.
Well, especially when Wisconsin's offensive line from left to right goes 305, 328, 334, 319, 319. Those guys are living at the Golden Corral.
Right, and if you can play well against Wisconsin, though, if you're a Nebraska defensive lineman, put that on your NFL resume tape, right? I mean, you can make some money this weekend if you play well on the D-line. And we didn't really talk about Ben Stille much, and he's just a grinder, and if he has a big game, that's just gonna help him in the long run.
All right, this will be a busy weekend. You got high school football coming up on Friday with the playoffs and everybody's plan. We talk a lot Class A, but let's talk Class B. You have a local team to keep an eye on in Class B. I'm putting you on the spot here because you have quite a few choices.
Which one do I go with?
Yes.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, we could talk all day about the dynamics of that class because I think you throw them all in a hat. I think this is the one year where you say, geez, you could pick six different teams that could win Class B. You know, Bennington being the top seed, I'll be interested to see how their game translates to these late, you know, fall evenings and if they can stand up to the challenge in terms of their experience level. That's why I always kind of fall back to Scutt, because until you knock them off their perch, they're still the champions, right? Mm-hmm. But I would say, you know, Bennington is kind of, as weird as it sounds, because they're the number one seed and now the number one ranked team in Class B. You know, I don't know if they are given their proper respect when you put them alongside the Elkhorns and the Scutts of the world. And I think that they've got a little, they're playing with a chip on their shoulder. I like the way they're playing heading into the postseason. I'll go with the Badgers of Bennington. Badgers.
I like that. All right. Yeah. You know, how many, you got any friends that are coming down to cover this weekend? You know, it's such a strange, you know, we're kind of all kind of limited, but in terms of, you know, Nebraska had one of their smallest contingencies in a long time go on the road to Columbus. Usually when Wisconsin plays here, there's a good collection of media. You have any idea of how many media members they're bringing?
I understand it's less than 10 and more like 5. Wow. So I know Nebraska last week was limited to, I think, 8 traveling media. And so the press box, I think, will be 1/4 of the capacity, or if not lower, 20 or 25%, if I'm not mistaken. Yep. It's going to be an interesting deal. I kind of know what to expect, but don't really know what to expect. You know, it's just going to be weird. You know, we've seen enough, you know, Class D2 finals on a Monday press conference to know what football looks like in an empty press box, you know what I mean? In an empty press box, in an empty stadium. But it's going to be weird when the big boys are playing out there. It's a big game. It doesn't matter how many people are in the stands. It's a big game for Nebraska if they really want to. They got to knock off Wisconsin at some point. They've lost 7 in a row to these guys. They got to prove that they can beat them no matter who's on the other side playing quarterback.
Yeah, some of the guys that were in Columbus said, you know, of course, being in an empty stadium and there's a game going on, that was a little bit different. But they said where it really hit them is the atmosphere outside of the stadium. I don't know if this was something that the Ohio State campus police made sure that nobody was congregating, that they kept traffic moving. That, I mean, you just rolled right up to the stadium, and it felt like you were driving up to go to a practice. There was no pageantry of a Saturday, and that's where a lot of these guys were like, whoa, this is going to be different in 2020. You would think this just, we're going to cover a scrimmage inside of the big house or inside of the horseshoe.
Yeah, and I talked to Sean Callahan, who went for Husker Online, and he does obviously work for us as well. And he said that was one of the more jarring things, is just to scoot right up to the stadium. And granted, you know, you get your temperature checks and all that protocols getting into the stadium. But he said outside the stadium was weird. Inside the stadium was strange. The no band thing was really weird. And it's just going to be different. I know Wisconsin had restrictions that you couldn't even congregate around the stadium. There's a street that runs parallel to Camp Randall. They had that open, which they never do on game days, because they wanted traffic and didn't want anybody congregating by the stadium, and they were handing out tickets if people did. So just a different deal in a different year, and, you know, we'll just adapt, adjust, and hopefully get past this thing before 2021.
I hope so. AK, thank you very much. We'll see you this weekend.
Yep, sounds good.
It's Andy Kendi from KETV. Yeah, the outside atmosphere, where usually there's tailgating, there's all kinds of fun going on, nothing. Nothing. That's why. Be very. I don't know if I want to use the word eerie. Just still be awkward in Lincoln. The streets of downtown Lincoln probably won't be very busy, and especially around the stadium. You know, the parking lot's not packed. Nobody in them. That's where we are in 2020. And we're also in 2020 when you test positive for COVID, like Graham Mertz has, you're out for 21 days. We continue. We're reaching out to some people. There's somebody that wants to speak in Wisconsin about their football team and what's going on. If we make it past tomorrow, I feel good about this game being played. But I don't think we're out of that range yet. That's something to closely monitor. They're waiting for the next result from Chase Wolf, who is the backup to Graham Mertz. And if he tests positive and he's out for 21 days, they're looking at their fourth-string quarterback for the next 3 weeks. We're looking at Robin Washett. He'll join us after the top of the hour right here on the Gary Sharp Show on 1620 The Zone.